So, welcome to today's lecture in compiler construction. Maybe a short recap of what we have done last time to get you into the mood of what we're going to do today. So, we have left the field of scanning the input for tokens and instead work in the phase of interpreting the token stream in order to reconstruct the syntactical structure of the input. And we have seen that our way of specifying what we want to do in this phase was to specify the structure of a program language as a context-free grammar. And our goal was to come up with a way to make this context-free grammar into instance of a push-down automaton reconstructing the syntax via top-down parsing with the LL parsing principle. So the idea is to start with the root symbol of the grammar and step-by-step trying to expand this symbol by the productions that we find in the grammar for non-terminals that we find in our current sentence form that we have derived so far. So we came up with a way to do so in a coordinated fashion. However, we came to the problem that there is alternatives in right-hand sides. And for those, we need to somehow choose whichever alternative would fit best in our situation. And so far in the model, we have had the in the item pushdown automaton, the non-deterministic choice at that point. For a practical algorithm, we desire to replace that with some kind of helper structure that would facilitate us to choose whether to go alternative one or to go alternative two. So we said that for our purposes, we would do that based on the remaining input symbols, particularly not the remaining input symbols, but in our case, just the next input symbol. And this led us to talk about this, these look-ahead sets. These are sets that we use to collect suitable input symbols that belong to certain alternatives and will make us choose the alternative that belongs to that look-ahead set if the current remaining input input's first symbol corresponds to a symbol in this look-ahead set. So we are interested in talking about sets that consists of strings of maximally little length 1, including, of course, the empty string. And this is kind of the data structure with which we have started to set up a few rules of how to compute with them in these slides here. So these were the first sets. So they consist just of strings of maximum length 1 of terminal symbols. And we have established a few ways of dealing with them, particularly how to cope with concatenation and union of these types of things. And we came up with a particular operation for performing the one concatenation, which would work if those sets of strings are restricted to strings of length maximally 1, which is the case in our world. So that's the one concatenation, which basically boils down to performing either nothing or performing a union again. So union is the main operation that we need for these look-ahead sets. So back to our original program problem. The thing is that we are confronted with grammars that usually have some non-terminal symbol here that can be expanded to either some sequence of symbols in one alternative, or another alternative that consists of other symbols. Like that, for example. So we usually are interested in disambiguation between those based on the first symbol that belongs to each of these right-hand sides. So we are actually interested in first symbols that belong to concatenations of symbols. So that's why we talk here about these alphas that are just strings of non-terminals and terminals. This you can motivate them as being right-hand sides of productions, and thus things that we are interested in disambiguation. So, in principle, now we want to have some way of obtaining first sets for those strings of symbols. However, so far we have only really talked about actual first sets for concrete sets of strings of maximal length one of terminal symbols. So the question is now, how do we come from these generic strings of right-hand side symbols to down to these sets? And well, if you go the engineering way, you would probably at some point start based on the actual structure of these right-hand sides to decompose how a right-hand side looks like, and try to find out how the first set of the whole thing is in relation to the first set of those components. So instead of looking at the alpha by itself, we would try to decompose it into its components, being single symbols, and try to then continue doing that recursively for each of these symbols themselves. And we can then see that, well, for terminal symbols, of course, we already know what the first one set of the, these going to be. So these will be kind of the terminating things in our algorithm. And if we encountered a non-terminal for which we need a first symbol, then, well, we can let us be guided by the grammar that tells us how to expand these non-terminals into other things and come up with ways of obtaining first sets for that particular non-terminal out of whatever the right-hand sides look like. Of course, this will potentially end up being a recursive thing, or potentially be a recursive thing, but at least that is a start. With that, you have somehow a grasp on the structure. So if we try to do that here, then we quickly arrive at the problem that it's not so easy to decompose them per se if we don't. But in our case, it's the only thing that we have seen that that is really involved in actual concatenation of symbols. What is actually making up such a right-hand side is, well, this concatenation is actually realized just being a one concatenation, which is essentially just either a union or nothing, depending on whether the left-hand side operand would contain an epsilon or an empty string or not. So we can try to make use of that by carrying over this disambiguation between the right hand, the left hand side operand being empty string free or not, or epsilon string free or not, epsilon free or not, and separate these two cases from each other. So the first set of an arbitrary non-terminal consists of a part that is epsilon-free and epsilon itself, because, well, the first one set of epsilon is always epsilon. So if we disambiguate between these cases, it makes it a little bit easier to actually reason about how to come up with characterizations for these epsilon free sets, because now we essentially only talk about unions anymore in certain situations. Particularly, what we look at is concatenations of symbols, and these concatenations of symbols, as long as the symbols x1 to xm minus 1 will actually be will actually potentially be epsilon free, then the and xm is the only one that got myself confused here. So if the the symbols from x1 to xm minus 1 potentially contain an the empty string or epsilon, and xm is the first one that does not, then if we translate that back into our one concatenation, this means that all the symbol from x1 to xm we can just do the union of, and only with the symbol xm we don't have to continue anymore. Of course, here this is the last symbol, but we can also do that for j minus 1 xj xm, for the case that the first symbol, which is epsilon free, is somewhere in the middle, let that be the symbol xj here, then all what we do is we do the union of the symbols from x1 to xj minus 1, and of course the union of xj, and we ignore everything that comes behind, because this xj being or not containing the empty string in its first symbol terminates the union of all these things together. So this is then what you can set up as a decomposition of the first set of right-hand sides. So that is kind of the basic thing for sequences of symbols. We pay attention to the first symbol that we meet that is not empty, and we do the union of all the symbols from one up to that symbol that was the first one that was not potentially empty. This then helps us to actually set up a lot of or a system of inequalities that characterizes how the epsilon-free first sets of non-terminals look like, or of symbols look like. So for each terminal, it's already clear that the first set is given by the terminal itself. This one is kind of the terminating case. And then for each non-terminal, we set up inequalities of that form for all rules that we find of the form that, here on the right hand side. So if our production has the our grammar has the production A goes to x1 to xm, for example, what we do is we pay attention to which of these right hand side symbols is potentially creating the empty string. Mark them accordingly, and then go from index 1 to index m and check up till which symbol we can go until we reach the first symbol that creates something which is different from empty, and then just collect inequalities of these of the first sets from these symbols that all make up that all are in relation to this A with the subset relation. So this creates us a